Hey folks, this is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are and whatever part of the day you're in. I sure do appreciate you joining me, giving me a little piece of your day. I know you probably have 15 different things pulling you in 20 different directions. Which is a whole nother podcast in itself, but I'm glad that you're here. I hope it gives you something, some tools for your toolbox. Hopefully it helps draw us closer to God and Jesus Christ a little bit. Hopefully it helps our nation. For those of y'all that continue to share the podcast and tell others about it, thank you so much. For those of y'all that share it online or tell people about it. And for those of y'all that leave kind comments both online and in person, I'm incredibly grateful for that. So, thank you. Homestead, it got dry enough that we got a little work done in the yard. Looks like it may stay that way for a few days, so that would be good. And I think that's about it. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love and your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. Thank you for the time to record this podcast. Thank you for the people that listen to it and share it. Be with them and their families. Guide us, Lord. Bless us. Protect us from evil. Help us to seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness first. Help us to love you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. To love our neighbors as ourselves. And please hear us, Lord, when we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, we're going to get back into, first, have you read your Bible today? Have you made time for that? Have you made time for prayer? Have you carved a little section of your day? For me, I've said this before, I have to do stuff in the morning that has to really get done. Because if I don't do it in the morning, it typically isn't going to happen. Y'all may not be like that, and that's fine. Whatever part of the day, whenever you need to carve time out, and you know you will, great. But even if it's just for a few minutes, folks, and if you're just starting back, just start with a few minutes. If you're looking for something, we post daily scripture readings on this podcast pretty much every day, and it's usually somewhere between 3 and 5 minutes. And if you can stand to listen to my voice for that long or that much longer, it's a real simple way to get through it. If you just need something to do or you want something short to share with somebody else. So if you haven't done that and you think that you're not going to have time today, go ahead and turn the podcast off and go spend a little time with God. And then if you have some more time and you want to come back to the podcast and can, we will be here. I promise. The other thing is, have you made time for your spouse? Are they your second priority each day? with actions and a good attitude. Do they know that? Because you're showing them, right? Whatever time of the day it is, doesn't matter what it is, folks. Are you really putting energy and effort into pleasing your spouse? Above everything else, above phones and TV and workouts and friends and parents and children and careers and social media and TV like Netflix, Hulu, Prime, sports, in person, whether it's your kids or somebody else or on TV, like, are you putting them before everything except God? Or are you putting yourself first? I mean, that's really what it boils down to. We have time and energy, folks, and it doesn't even matter what it is. It does not matter what it is. Whether it's helping around the house, whether it's walking down the road in the afternoon or the morning or sitting on the porch drinking coffee, whether it's sex, whether it's cooking, helping out with the kids, reading to each other, talking, listening, whatever it is that makes your spouse feel loved each day, you have time and energy to do it. And saying anything else is just making excuses, folks. And don't do it. The description of Jesus Christ, the description Christ gave of the Pharisees when they fast, you know, and they make these long faces so they make sure that people know that they're fasting and know what a good job they're doing. Do you do that? I mean, in any of those things that I just listed off, if you're doing it with this long face, like you're suffering, like, oh, look, I'm doing a really good job. I'm loving you, but man, I don't like it. I just want you to know how much I don't like it. Then don't do it. I tell you what, if that's your attitude, I don't know why you even got married. But if you are already married and you can't get out of it now, folks, you have two choices. You can either fix your attitude or you can make the rest of your marriage really long and lonely and hard. And for those of y'all that aren't married, you need to make sure, absolutely make sure, that when you're looking for a spouse, you find somebody that meets three bare minimum criteria. That they love God more than they love you. That they love you more than they love themselves. And who you love more than you love yourself. Everything else will work out if that's true. All right, we're going to get back into immigration. I don't think I read these Bible verses the other day, so I wanted to read a couple of them. A lot of times, people that don't even really like the Bible, that's the really sad thing, folks. We allow ourselves to be beaten into these corners by people who really don't follow God's word anyway in their day-to-day life. I'm not talking about where their heart is, folks. I'm just saying in their actions, that's just not the case. And you can look at it a couple different ways. One, you can, I had to jump outside for just a second. My father came bouncing rapidly down the dirt road and I thought something was wrong, but it wasn't. He was just touching base. So those little things, y'all probably would be entertained if you could see all the chaos that goes on during recording these podcasts. At any rate, you can look at it a couple different ways. I mean, there's a couple different groups of people. One are the people that absolutely reject God and Jesus Christ and the Bible. They don't have any use for it. And the other is the people that claim that they do, but, you know, then they belong to a church or themselves support like homosexuality or abortion or feminism, you know, things that blatantly go against the word of God. And so either way, folks, don't let yourself get beaten back into a corner by people that either completely don't even pretend to want anything to do with God or that are just pretending, at least via their actions. Again, you don't know their heart, but their actions certainly scream that they're not really following God and the commands of Christ. And so a lot of times these people, they'll throw in support of illegal immigration, they'll throw some of these Old Testament quotes, right? Deuteronomy 10:19. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Leviticus 19:34, the alien who resides with you shall be as you, the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 27:19, cursed is anyone who withholds justice from the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. Then all the people shall say amen. Right? And so one more, this one kind of ties them all together. Exodus 12:49. The same law shall apply to the native as to the stranger who sojourns among you. I'll read one more. Numbers 15:29. You shall have one law for him who does anything unintentionally, for him who is native among the sons of Israel, and for the alien who sojourns among them. And so you read through these, and on the surface, you can see how they can make the argument. Oh, well, we need open borders. We need illegal immigration. It's loving. It's, care for these people, these widows, these orphans. But that's a emotional response, which always gets you in trouble, folks, because, God tells us our hearts are deceitful above all else. And he tells us to guard our hearts real carefully because everything flows out of it, right? Out of Proverbs. And so when we get emotional, nothing wrong with being emotional. There is something wrong with letting our emotions dictate our actions. When you really dig into these verses, and it's really summed up in those last two from Exodus and Numbers, you're supposed to have the same law, right? And I go back to the analogy because it's so good of a kid breaking into a bank. Kid comes to you as a parent and they say, "Hey, I'm going to break into this bank." And no loving parent is ever going to go, "Oh, that's a great idea. Let me help you do it." That's not loving. It's not kind or caring. Not only that, what is that kid doing? They're going into that bank and they're going to steal resources away from somebody else. Or the other thing, even worse, is you're the parent and you go, "Well, hold on, I'll go and break into the bank and I'll help you. I'll get the money out of somebody else's lockbox and I'll give it to you." There's nothing kind or caring about supporting illegal immigration, and these Old Testament verses don't help you any. Right? Love the stranger. It's not loving to helping someone, anyone, sin. And stealing is a sin. And you're not helping by stealing someone else's money to give to the illegal immigrant. It's not loving. That's not caring or kind. Love the alien as yourself. If you're not just completely self-centered, and if you really want to make yourself a better man or woman, citizen, husband, wife, father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, if you really want to make yourself better, you want people that tell you the truth. And you want people that don't encourage you in wrongdoing, but help steer you away from that. And so when you look at this Bible verse and it says, love the alien as yourself, if you were really loving the illegal immigrant, you wouldn't be helping them to hurt other people. That's not loving and kind. You can make arguments all day long about the need to reform the immigration policy, and I'm all on board with that. In fact, I really like when people use the Old Testament verses, especially in that regard, because if you want to create, the foreigners in Israel, they had to follow God's law. So in a Christian nation, and we were founded that way, we talk about that all the time on the podcast. If you want to bring immigrants in And you say, well, look, we got to follow these Old Testament verses. Okay, well, then they have to be Christian. I'm 100% on board with that. That's great. Love it. Sign me up. We're going to go back to this 1802 paper, speech, whatever, letter, I think, by Hamilton. Hope it's by Hamilton. I said that. And then now Alexander Hamilton. I'm just making sure. It's 12 January 1802. I always get nervous. I'm going to tell you all something wrong. I want to read this sentence again real quick, and then we'll move on to the next thing. The safety of a republic depends essentially on the energy of a common national sentiment, on a uniformity of principles and habits, on the exemption of the citizens from foreign bias and prejudice, and on that love of country which will almost invariably be found closely connected with birth, education, and family. The education part is really why I wanted to read that, folks. The thing that has made America in the past so successful is we had a Bible-centric education. We taught those principles of Christ in our education. So it really didn't matter where you came from, in a sense, because our kids were educated in the principles of Christ, which served as the foundation of our nation. Well, when you take that away, as we have over the last century, then things fall apart. And that was by design, folks. That's not coincidence. The opinion advanced in the notes on Virginia is undoubtedly correct, that foreigners will generally be apt to bring with them attachments to the persons they have left behind, to the country of their nativity, and to its particular customs and manners. They will also entertain opinions on government congenial with those under which they have lived, or, if they should be led hither from a preference to ours, how extremely unlikely is it that they will bring with them that temperate love of liberty so essential to real republicanism? There may, as to particular individuals and at particular times, be occasional exemptions to these remarks, yet such is the general rule. This is huge, folks, for a couple of reasons. One, the first part here, most people that come into this country, they bring with them the ideas from the country that they left, even if they're bad ideas. Like you see a lot of the illegal immigrants coming up from Central and South America, and they bring with them a lot of these socialist government ideas. They like the left here in America, even though that's exactly what they fled from. That's what they vote for. That's what they support, even though it's evil, destructive, chaotic. It's what they fled from. And yet they support it here. That's just human nature, right? And even if you have some that want to come here because they see, well, I really like this better, so I want to go there, right? There's very few of them that, as Hamilton says here, that have that temperate love of liberty that's so essential to republicanism. You know, where does that come from? That comes from the Spirit of the Lord, the New Testament, straight out of there. You can't have liberty without the Spirit of the Lord. And so if we don't have Christianity as the basis of our country and our education system, and we flood the country with illegal immigrants, most of whom really like or follow, I should say, the practices of governments that they fled from, or even if they do really like it here, they don't understand liberty enough. They don't understand the gospel of Christ, the principles that laid the foundation for our nation. And this is really true of most of our citizens today, sadly. I've been doing this podcast now for 3 years at the end of this month. Some of y'all have been with me that whole time, which I'm amazed by, and thank you. But I still feel way underqualified. And I've been reading this stuff on a daily basis. The vast majority of citizens across the country have never heard most of this stuff. Y'all, just by listening to the podcast, put yourselves in a very small percentage of the population that has heard some of these quotes and texts, documents from our founding fathers and other generations. And so, even if the people really like the system here, Hamilton's saying most of them aren't going to understand liberty enough to realize how to execute that to support real republicanism. And you know, at the end, this is so great because it's so true. I'm going to steal my father's. The exception always proves the rule. You know, and Hamilton says there might be exceptions here and there, one individual, certain times, certain situations, but that's not the general rule. And that's true across so much of the board, folks. So feminism is a great example. Yeah, every once in a while you might have a really great female leader, but those are the exceptions that prove the rule. God bless y'all. God bless your families. God bless your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon, folks. Looking forward to it.